Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Heart of Sports with Jason Springer and Jeff Cohen, powered by ELEC 825. We are thrilled to join you on WWDB 860 AM and 97.5 HD2, part of the Beasley Media Group. Ready to help you move into the weekend, talking about all the news in the world of sports. A little snow on the ground, Jeff. It's football weather.
It's winter, and if you think it's cold here, I spent a couple days in Chicago earlier this week.
Yeah.
It is cold out there.
Cold. That's what it'll be cold here next week. Next week, it'll be in like the 13 degree area. So
yeah, well, that's why I'm going to go to Florida.
Look at you. Well, then, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
That business trip was planned better than the one this week.
Before we get started, why don't we give a shout out? We stopped by the Philadelphia Sports Writers Association's awards dinner banquet last night. Lots of honorees. You got to talk to Bill Giles for a couple minutes. Got to see a bunch of other people. It's a great event that they do.
It is an amazing event that they do. There's a lot of good that comes out of it. There's a lot of recognition of people that really deserve to be recognized. And, you know, for us, if you look back a little less than a decade ago to one of our first guests, Bill Giles was that guy, and it always generously gave us his time. And I got, he's such a good man. He's done so much for the city. He's done so much for the Phillies. I still, you know, I go through this every year, and I've discussed this with you on and off the air. How is he not on the Phillies Wall of Fame?
He gets every other honor in the area.
He put together the teams in the 80s. He's responsible for the most beloved figure in all of sports in the Philly fanatic. If you talk to anybody who's ever been through that organization, they revere and adore him. So how is he not on the Wall of Fame?
I don't know. It's never made sense to me. Do you know who's not probably going to be honored at one of those dinners?
Josh. I don't know where you're going with that, but go ahead.
Josh Harris.
So there was part of me that wanted to, when we started the show today, to just sit here and say nothing. And just keep going and then see if I can negotiate something out of you.
Okay. Or did you want to wait for Keith to talk about it? And then you decided
Look, we'll go into it in greater detail with him. But
we've got Keith Pompey coming up later in the show to talk a little Sixers.
You know, everybody benefits in a deal. There's always compromise. But somehow Comcast got to sit back, watch. They're going to get a new arena after spending $400 million or so on the existing arena in 7 years. And somehow they ended up with somebody else paying for half of it and getting a percentage of the team they didn't own.
And the governor is waiting to see the plans on whether the state will now kick in money, which they weren't going to do in Chinatown. And also they're now going to bid together for a WNBA team. Kumbaya, Jeff.
And we don't talk politics on this show, but can we talk about the mayor for a second?
It's a victory for her again. The greatest deal ever that changed is still the greatest deal ever.
She announced that is the greatest deal. Was it ever in the city or ever by a mayor?
I just remember you lost your mind on this show over it that time.
I forget which superlative she gave herself. But at the end of the day, it's now coming out, apparently, story after story, that she cut a deal and the Sixers continued to negotiate with another state.
With Camden, yes. They were still, until they signed, apparently, according to reports. And we'll get into this with Keith. You just couldn't wait. So that's why I threw it to you. Like, I knew that you needed to get this out of your system to be able to talk about other things, particularly the Eagles. But it is related to the Eagles because staying down there, now they move forward with the big expansion plans where I think they go more towards the Navy Yard. And I think in, you know, 10, 12 years, you're going to end up with a new Sixers Flyers arena down there. You're going to end up with probably a new Eagles stadium down there.
So the plan, just you know, because I don't think you've been to it. I've talked to you about it in the past, is where the Braves built their stadium is incredible. The shops, the restaurants, it's like its own really cool new neighborhood.
Yeah, the hotels.
And that's what's supposed to, if that vision comes to South Philly, it is going to be incredible.
It'll extend up to the Navy Yard, most likely. I mean, it'd be unreal down there. Hopefully they'll figure out traffic a little bit more. I can't wait to.
Well, that's the one thing. Because the problem is between the sports complex and the Navy Yard, you're cut off by 95. So I don't know how they're going to to deal with that. Yes, you can drive over 95. There's obviously that spot, but that makes it awkward in and of itself and a little different than what they have down in Atlanta.
I still say a couple of pedestrian bridges over the roads helps traffic a lot when people are walking to the stadiums. What the hell do I know?
Don't want people getting hit on the way there.
I'll be walking into the stadium on Sunday. I'm excited. I'm going to the game. I'm going to make you talk some Eagles here in NFL playoffs for a bit.
How excited are you going to be when, see, I know what a big fan you are,
yes,
but I also know you're old.
Yes.
Or not older than me, no, I'm old. But old, okay. old enough that you complain when you get up and when you sit down.
Yes. And I was able to get up and sit down without pain today, so I count that as a victory.
Yeah, so exactly how are you going to handle, unless you're going to tell me you're in a nice warm box, exactly how are you going to handle what is going to amount to miserable weather?
Layers, lots of them, and probably texting you about how cold I am and uncomfortable I am and how I should have just stayed in front of my TV to watch the game and complain by myself.
Yeah, I mean, we don't talk politics. We do talk weather.
We do talk weather.
It's
only like 1 to 3 inches, but it's going to be in the mid-30s.
Well, you know, I don't know how accurate Apple weather is, but right now it's predicting, at least now I live 40 minutes up from Philadelphia, it's saying 4 to 5 inches right now.
Yeah, I think in Philly right now, they're in the 1 to 3 track. That can all change. But it's going to be cold out there. And, you know, Matthew Stafford's 1-8 in cold weather. So there's that. It goes back to the years ago.
What was that statistic that you just threw out there?
Matthew Stafford is 1-8 in cold
1-8. Okay.
In cold weather games.
And you think that's going to matter?
No, I mean, years ago, everybody told me that Tampa can't come play in the cold. And I still remember them closing down the Vets.
Yeah, so, I was just so about
like,
to bring that up.
I don't subscribe to those things. I do think that it is significant. You know, they are coming in off an emotional high on an emotional roller coaster. I mean, they played on the road Monday night at a home game in Arizona. They go back to the horrors of what's going on in California, the challenges with their families and the community. They fly east on a day short to play in a cold weather game in late afternoon, early evening with potential precipitation. So I'm just saying, like, those factors do impact a team, but it's a playoff game. They're going to be ready and be prepared. The Eagles beat the Packers. You know,
just to remind you, Matt Stafford played in the NFC North. Now, he played in a dome. But he played in a division where routinely you would play in Green Bay and Chicago.
Not well. I get it.
Well, no, that he didn't play. Wait. It's not that he didn't play well. Matt Stafford's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I understand.
Try to tell me he's not. The fact is his team sucked.
Okay. I understand. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
He's got Puka Nacua to throw to. He's got Kyren Williams running the ball and to throw it to out of the backfield. He's got a plethora of weapons, and people have diminished what the Rams have done all season. And it is amazing to me what Sean McVay has been able to do with that team, considering where they were just 12 months ago.
I think it's more what the Rams have done in the last month. You know, if you look at their season stats, it's not nearly what it is over the last month. In the last four games, they've been a completely different team in defense. So,
yeah,
you know, what team is coming in here? You know, in the Week 12 matchup, Saquon Barkley carried 26 times for 255 yards. I don't think he's going to carry for 255 yards. But even without the 70-yard runs that he broke, he still had over 100 yards. This is a Rams team. The only team in the playoffs with a worse rushing average is the Commanders. But like I said, in their last four games, they allowed just 89 rushing yards and no rushing touchdowns in that stretch. So that defense has played stronger. They had 9 sacks last week on Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Jared Verse is a beast.
He is. Did you see what he said?
He's clearly the defensive player, rookie of the year.
He hates Philadelphia fans already, he said.
Unlike Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, right. I can't imagine how that went over at the Knicks fan base wearing an Eagles jersey on the sideline. I mean,
so here's a question. We'll go back to the Eagles in a second, but I brought that up. But do you think here were your options? Did he take it off? He says he took it off, I think, because he was sweating through it.
Yes, that's what he said. I don't believe that.
That's not a realistic
I call option. BS.
So, yeah. So it's either he took it off because somebody shamed him into taking it off.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if you're allowed to wear team swag on the sidelines.
I don't know, but by the third quarter.
But it's not because he had sweat stains on.
By the third quarter, he had a different outfit on.
I do have a question about that, though. He wasn't playing.
No.
Why would he have had sweat stains on?
It was warm in the arena that night.
He was very stressed out. I mean, come on.
I think the bigger question with the Rams defensive line isn't how well the Eagles block. It's how quick does Jalen get the ball out? You know, he's the third slowest quarterback to get the ball out in the NFL this season. The first touchdown of the game last week, he had 6.7 seconds to find Jahan Dotson for his first touchdown in the back of the end zone. So
where does that stand in relation to where he has been in the past? Is this in his head at this point?
I think both. I think he's always frustrated me as historically slower. Like he just seems to move slower than some other quarterbacks in the fakes that he runs and stuff. So that takes time. But I think he's also been a lot more cautious this year after the interceptions early in the season. I believe there's a stat that they've only had 9 shots down the field of 20 or more yards in the last few weeks. Like that's, they've moved much more to a ball control, short pass offense, even though they're running routes where you have go routes and then Jalen's taking off and running. So, you know, I didn't like the game plan last week. I didn't like what was called, I don't like that Kellen Moore will be distracted this week with 3 interviews. And that's not a Kellen Moore thing. They all interview. That's the NFL schedule. Though I will say Cliff Kingsbury said, I'm not going to interview till my team's out. So while Cliff Kingsbury's solely preparing for the game this weekend against the Lions, Kellen Moore has 2 interviews today and 1 tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you know why? You know why Cliff Kingsbury says that?
Because he's already got paid till 2026 from the Cardinals, so he can do that.
And there's only one job for him if he's not even going to consider leaving at this point. It would be the Bears' job to go coach Caleb Williams. There's nobody else that wants Cliff Kingsbury in part two of that. He's a great offensive coordinator. Where has he ever been a great?
I think coach? New Orleans also wanted to talk to him. Now whether or not he does with them, for Kellen Moore, it's Jacksonville, New Orleans, and Dallas. My thing more is, you know, I don't like the same thing with the transfer portal being like right before you have football games. I don't like the coaching carousel occurring right when these teams are supposed to be preparing for their matchups. Just, you know, complaint that I have. Your thoughts? Go ahead. You want to say something?
I keep thinking that Kellen Moore is going to end up back in Dallas because Jerry Jones has a history of getting somebody who he's comfortable with, not somebody who's going to win him games, but guys he's comfortable with.
He did
this before with coaches. And so Kellen Moore has been an assistant.
Remember, Kellen Moore was placed on Mike McCarthy's staff as the offensive coordinator before Mike McCarthy was hired. Jerry Jones really likes Kellen Moore. And
he also apparently really likes Jason Witten.
Jason Witten wanted
him placed on the staff.
Now, let me ask you.
They're apparent.
Do you believe the Deion Sanders hype?
I believe that they're talking.
Is Deion using it for leverage with Colorado, or is Deion using
what,
it because
what leverage does Deion Sanders
the need thing with I saw was more NIL money and more money for his assistant coaches was what I had seen. He was trying to go back for more with Colorado, and that the regents did not go along with that.
I don't know where you can you're not going to get more NIL money by demanding anything. Your alumni base and your booster base are going to give money regardless. They want to see the team win. I don't think that threat works. I think Deion's ego will never be satisfied. It's always about Deion. I've been on campus with Deion there. The stuff that they sell in the store mostly says Prime.
Mm-hmm.
There is more stuff there that says Prime than says Buffalo's. It's always going to be about him. How in the world is Jerry Jones, who couldn't handle Jimmy Johnson, who won him Super Bowls, and couldn't handle the ego there? Who couldn't handle Bill Parcells? How is he going to handle Deion Sanders? because that's what it is. Nobody should have to be handled, but Jerry Jones seems to want people that he's comfortable with, that he can handle, that don't outshine him, that the owner wants to be able to have the podcast, not the coach.
That's the answer right there. He doesn't want people to outshine him.
Yeah.
And
Deion Sanders walks around with a camera crew.
Yes. Yes. It's
he walks around with a camera.
Now, I'm still in mourning that they moved on from Mike McCarthy. I told you my plan forever was to keep Daniel Jones with the Giants and keep Mike McCarthy with the Cowboys. And this season has totally gone to flames with those hopes. So, you know, I'm worried.
No, you still have Joe Shane over with the Giants. You still have Brian Daboll with the Giants.
I know you said you don't mind Joe Shane being kept. You know, you thought he had made some good picks. You wanted Daboll gone, but see some of the stories coming out about how Shane like treated players and stuff and how that went over.
Yeah. And I did not know that. And if those stories are true, yeah, then you don't want that. The way that he supposedly talked to people before cutting them or trying to negotiate their salaries down.
Yeah.
Is the kind of, see, general managers, smart general managers realize there's a way to be tough, but you have to recognize that everything you say goes, the agents are there. They represent other people. They talk to other people. And if you start getting a reputation, you can't get people in the building.
No.
It's the reason Sam Hinkie had problems.
It's the reason the Sixers have problems now.
Daryl Morey has a problem.
Yeah. Look, where's Daryl Morey? Come on. They stick Nick Nurse out there every night to say, day to day. He's coming along. We'll see how he feels tomorrow.
Oh, well, we're not getting back on the Sixers.
Yeah, no, we'll get
back. Not yet. We'll deal with somebody who knows a lot more than we do.
So let's get back to NFL playoffs. You know, we could break down all the matchups on the Eagles game. That will drive you absolutely bonkers, so I'm not going to do that. How should I feel as an Eagles fan going into this game? Because I feel pretty good. You know,
which is like a superlative.
Yes. I mean, I have my concerns. You know, I didn't like some of the game planning last week. I didn't think things were there. They looked great early on, and then later it was just confusing to me. Jake Elliott is still a concern, missing an extra point, even though he hit the field goals. But overall, this was the matchup more that I wanted than a Tampa or, you know, the Commanders or anybody like that in the matchup. This is more the road that I was hoping to have. So okay,
we can talk about the Commanders in a second, but with regard to your matchup, to me, the thing that I'm going to watch is who's going to be on Puka Nacua. Who do you think is going? Do you think it's going to be man on man always? Somebody on him, shadowing him,
yeah.
Or do you think that they go to a zone defense with him because he can tear apart a zone defense?
I think he can tear apart a zone. I think they more put Quinion on him and try and have Cooper DeJean help out. I do worry about N'Kobe Dean's injury. He was very significant for the run game. Trotter and Oren Burks are not what N'Kobe Dean, the role he has been playing. And I know there were questions about whether he could play that role, whether he could stay healthy. Again, this injury hurts for that narrative. But he had a fantastic season.
The Eagles do seem confident that Trotter is going to be able to fill in there.
They do. I don't think he's the guy that gets the first crack. I think Oren Burks, who forced the fumble on the kickoff last week, I think he's the one that gets the first crack and Zach Bond gets the green dot. But I do think you're going to see a lot of Trotter in there and they like him. I definitely do.
I mean, it's going to be tough losing a linebacker when you have somebody like their backfield is very good.
Yeah.
It's not just Williams. They have a bunch of complimentary backs back there that they can toss out there every time that Williams needs a break.
Hey, can we talk about a good story for a second? I didn't check and see what it was up to today, but did you see the Eagles fans that started a GoFundMe? We'll talk about the bad Eagles fan in a second. Did you see the Eagles fans that started a GoFundMe since they're playing the Rams and have raised over?
Look, those are the feel-good stories. That's something that the Bills had done, what was it, last year?
Yep.
It's what the Eagles fans are doing right now is what sports should be about. It's what we talk about all the time with athletes.
Now get me to the shitty Eagles fan who gave us all a bad name by being an a-hole and got banned from the stadium and fired from his job. And
wow, you got salty all of a sudden.
Well, I don't have patience for people who act like that, and I don't care if people think he was provoked. Just shut your damn mouth.
Can I ask a question? What could possibly provoke you to say that?
That's what I don't understand.
Like literally, if the person that he was saying it to said, please say this to me, it still would not provoke me to actually say the words.
And like, by the way,
you either have that decency or you don't have that decency. That man didn't have that decency. And the irony of it is where he works and what he does for a living.
Yes. And did you see his apology? I'm sorry. I was wrong. But
yes.
No, but dude,
yeah,
just
yeah,
yeah. cut it off. Crisis simple, communications simple 101.
Thing. Right, exactly. Simple thing to say in the world. Anytime you apologize, just say I'm sorry.
Just say I'm
sorry. Don't give an explanation. Just let it be. And if you think that there's an explanation later on, then go find a way to explain it later on. But the apology should not include the caveat.
Yes, I agree with you.
Especially when those are the words you've uttered and there is a video showing you uttering those words.
You uttering those words.
Yes. In an incredibly, they're hateful words, but he uttered it in a very hateful way.
Yes. Not good. Let's talk about some of the other matchups. I mean, there's four playoff games this weekend, college football championship on Monday. I know you don't care about the college football championship on Monday, but there's five big football games.
I will not be watching.
I am shocked to hear that you will not be watching.
Yes, but I will tell you, I have concluded after being talked into it by several of my fellow alum, is that we need to bite the bullet and root for Notre Dame, which is something that
is that the most painful thing you've ever said on this radio show?
Being on this earth was something that was not a likely thing.
I got to be honest. When we started this show many, many, many moons ago, years now, I didn't have on my bingo card Jeff Cohen, Notre Dame fan.
I don't remember who it was, but I remember there was a guest we were going to have on very early on. It was from Notre Dame. I can't remember who it was. And I said, no, I don't.
You had a hard time with it. Yes.
And I did change my mind a little bit because I got to interview Matt Vierling, who went to Notre Dame. And he was such a good guy.
You realize that Notre Dame people are people as well.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So Ohio State. And we've had Ohio State. Alum athletes on the show, and
which leaves a bad taste in your mouth. I understand.
They were good people too, but I refuse to acknowledge Ohio State being good in anything.
All right, so Notre Dame fan Jeff Cohen. That'll be Monday night. Let's start with the games on Saturday. Saturday afternoon, 4:30. Texans Chiefs. Do the Texans have a chance against the Chiefs?
No.
Okay, I'm glad we can get that in-depth analysis.
People want to keep talking about how the Chiefs are playing closer games this year. They lost, what, one game this whole season? Like,
just always find a way to win.
Exactly. Like, and this is not until the you game
beat
they're going to lose.
Until you beat the champ, you can't say you got a chance.
And so. Chances are, if you want to talk about weather, the weather is going to be miserable there. Mm-hmm. And the Texans play in a pretty little dome. So I don't see how they have any shot. I'm not telling you it's going to be a blowout. There's a difference between will it be close and do they have a chance? And I don't think of the four games, I think this will be the least competitive of the four.
Okay, let's go to Saturday night. Bills Ravens, very cold, snow in the forecast. Two teams that are very prepared for those conditions.
Exactly. But the Ravens don't ever seem to be prepared, especially Lamar Jackson, for the big game. That's the problem. One of the great quarterbacks in our league. However, he just doesn't seem to step up when it's time. And by the way, I don't think the Ravens used to be the bruising defensive team. They're better as the season went on.
They're a bruising offensive team.
They're not the bruising team that they have been in the past. Yes, they beat up on the Steelers, but the Steelers were not very good.
I think the Zay Flowers injury hurts them a lot in this game.
I agree.
The ability to take the top off and have a threat so that they don't have to pack the box with Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Buffalo is going to do, is just try to stop Derrick Henry and make Lamar beat them. And that's not to say Lamar can't, because he's done it before. But I think it's a little more difficult without those additional weapons there. Again, goes back to the conversation, playing players, sitting players. There's a situation where you play the player, he gets injured like we had with AJ last year and not on the field for the game.
The one thing I'm not certain of is the Bills defense. The Bills defense is like this no-name defense. Yes, you have Von Miller towards the end of his career on that defense, but how many other players can you name on that defense that are like all pro players? It's this group of guys that seem to put it together. The only other problem I have with this Bills team or concern is the coach.
Well, yeah, he makes...
He is not the great tactician.
Well, I mean, you want to get into coaches. You're going to have the Riverboat Game of the Week on Sunday night with Dan Campbell and Dan Quinn going at it for the Commanders and the Lions. Are the Commanders a live dog?
Jaden Daniels is absolutely amazing.
Yes, he is.
He has such an accurate arm.
And Dan Quinn can design defenses.
Yeah, look what he did to the Vikings a couple weeks ago.
Well, apparently everybody's doing that to the Vikings. Did anybody cost himself more money than Sam Darnold?
You know that the NFL is a copycat league.
Yeah.
And the fact is, all season, the Vikings developed game plans to the point that they were 14-3. Was it 14-3 or 13?
14-3.
Right. Okay. So they were able to beat good teams. And then Dan Campbell comes in with a depleted defense without the potentially the best defensive player in the league who's been out for half a season, who with a line with their best linebacker who's recovering and has that massive scar on his body now that I don't know how he's back this early as he can, with just a roster of guys that are unable to start, and put together a game plan and just totally shut them down. And what happened the next week is they ran that same game plan. And so while you say that, you know, lots of teams did it, no. Campbell put together the game plan that was followed the next week. And right. Campbell, as much as people sit there and go, he's like a big lunkhead because of the way he started his first press conference when he started as the coach of the Lions, the guy is a great coach.
He is. I don't question that at all. Can they, with their depleted defense that still is playing well, but I mean, they have like 13 injuries on defense, guys out, season ending, even with David Montgomery coming back on offense, can they contain Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin and what they're doing in Washington? You know, we talked Cliff Kingsbury earlier in the show. Here's a showcase for him on Sunday night.
I think that they can slow him down enough that the Lions offense can overcome it. I don't think they're shutting Daniels down, but I do think he is still a rookie, as good as he has been. And I think that Campbell can develop a game plan that will confuse him enough that maybe he'll make a mistake.
I was going to say, you can get him to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You can disguise coverages and really get him.
You have an offensive coordinator in the Lions who is an absolute genius, who has made Jared Goff look like he's a borderline Hall of Famer, which he's not.
Yeah.
They have St. Brown, who I believe has not dropped a pass this season.
He's so good.
Yeah, and you have a running game to complement it. You have good offensive linemen.
They've got the tight end with Sam Laporta. I mean, they have very good weapons. They have a good offensive line. They're a very strong team. All right, so going through it, our breakdown, our picks are Eagles-Lions in the championship for the NFC. What you got, Bills or Ravens against Chiefs?
I got Bills-Chiefs in the AFC championship.
All right, so a rematch of past years.
And Monday will not exist for me, so no. I'm not picking that game.
No, Monday will not occur, even though you'll be rooting for Notre Dame. Before we take a break and get to Keith, I did want to ask you one question. One of the coaching positions was filled. Mike Vrabel will be the Patriots coach, probably one of the worst kept secrets in the NFL. We're going to interview, you know, two people to satisfy the Rooney Rule. And then they brought in the guy that they wanted. Your thoughts?
Kraft screwed up. He did not screw up with Vrabel. He screwed up with the last coach. And you don't fire a coach after 1 year when you have decimated your team. They had no talent other than Drake May. They had nothing. And may or may not have handled it well, but you don't give him less than a year to figure it out. That being said, once he's gone, Vrabel was the only choice for the Patriots to try to get back to the Patriot way.
Yeah, I mean, that seems...
Unless you want to bring back Belichick because he still hasn't signed his deal with North Carolina.
What the hell's up with that, man? Like, I read something where they said, like, oh, it's not normal to not sign. They have a term sheet. Like, no, it's not normal to not sign.
Harbaugh didn't have a deal for years at Michigan.
Yeah.
Coaches coach without having contracts signed. I don't know why.
And then left when he wanted to. Isn't that the concern at North Carolina, is that somebody's going to come along and
let me ask you a question. Bill Belichick, for all his what little flaws have been pointed out about him, can you imagine what it would do to his reputation if he walked away now? It would permanently damage his legacy as a coach.
Well, would it?
Yeah, I think so. I think going to college, saying you're going to do this, and the first opportunity that goes to go back to the pros, you leave before you've even coached a game. I think that he doesn't recover from that.
I mean, he would have hung our guy Mike Lombardi out to dry, who's on like every show talking about how they're out there doing stuff. So
exactly.
I feel really bad for that.
I just don't see him being the kind of guy that did that. For whatever reason, he hasn't signed his contract, but I don't think it's because he's planning to leave. Because if he wanted to leave, he could leave. I mean, stories have come out about Tom Brady going down there and talking to him about the Raiders job. You don't hear anything out of Belichick about it.
No.
You see him putting on in the North Carolina gear and going out.
You still laugh recruiting. Every time you see him in North Carolina gear in like a high school classroom recruiting.
You laugh when he's got North Carolina gear and he has the sleeves on.
He does.
That's the part that's impressive.
All right. Why don't we leave it there? When we come back from break, we'll break down the Sixers, the arena, and try to keep our sanity with Keith Pompey. Stick with us.
Operating engineers are the men and women that move mountains. And the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative, ELEC, puts them to work. They create opportunities for the men, women, and union signatory contractors of Local 825, repaving our roads, keeping our homes bright and warm, and even building our favorite team stadium. We understand infrastructure. That's why ELEC and Local 825 are ready to get to work.
Thanks for sticking with us. All right. We voiced our frustrations recently with the Sixers. We thought we were going to come on and start talking about the arena. Looks like we're going to come on and start talking about Joel Embiid. Keith Pompey, our man on the inside. What's going on, man?
What's good, fellas? How y'all doing?
It was better till I got my push alert from the Sixers about how Joel Embiid's failing.
Yeah, it's rough. It's been a rough season for him, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. A rough career.
Give us an update on what happened today, and then we can go back to how we got here.
Well, today we got notified that Joel Embiid is going to miss. Well, he's going to be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days. He's definitely going to miss their upcoming 3-game road trip, which is against Indiana, Milwaukee, and Denver, because he has increased swelling in his left knee. Joel worked out on Thursday in the gym, did a workout. And after the workout, his knee swelling has increased. Joel has been out the last 6 games for what they said, a left foot sprain. But he's been dealing with this knee issue all season. And it makes you wonder, was the knee bothering him all along? Just makes you wonder.
Ooh, I got a question. Didn't he have a knee problem last year?
Mm-hmm.
Did he miss a lot of games last year?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to trip you up here. Missed a lot of games with that knee injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went and played in the Olympic, right?
Yeah.
And now he has the same knee problem this year.
Yeah.
Jason? I'm waiting for Jason's head to explode.
You know how I feel about this. I thought that he came back too soon last year. He said all along he didn't have the lift after the surgery in the playoffs when he's trying to push through it. Then he didn't give himself the proper rest, and he went to get all ready to sit on the bench in the Olympics so that he could put a medal in his case. And then I've been told all season is day to day. And Keith, I got to be honest, I don't believe him anymore. And, you know, Jeff and I used to joke for years about the apathy with the Flyers franchise. Jeff texted me the other night, $2 tickets. I'm watching the game. There's a ton of empty seats and I'm hearing MVP chants for Jalen Brunson. So, like, this is a larger problem for this franchise than just this man's knee health.
Before we let Keith speak, you need to correct yourself. It was $1 tickets.
Well, sorry. I apologize. But, like, how far have we fallen just this season right now in terms of the feeling of the fan base to this franchise?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a deep fall. I think the difference, you know, I think the difference from the tanking years was the tanking years, you had something to look forward to. At least you had the draft to look forward to, and you could possibly get, you know, a pretty good draft pick, and then it had a future. You know, right now, this was the summer that they did all in, and they got these guys, and next thing you know, they've only played 10 games together, talking about Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, and Joel Embiid. And, you know, I think Joel said it, look at what I've done for this city. Well, right now, all people wanting to do is get out there and play. All people want the 76ers to do is to have more transparency. And there are two things that they haven't had that haven't really happened to the level that people felt like it should have. So with that being said, it's there. I see fans a little bit disgruntled. Now, the one thing I will say, y'all both know this. If they come back and Joel Embiid plays like six games in a row where he's like looking like old Joel Embiid, then there are going to be people like, oh, well, we know Joe can do it. We're back. We're back. But right now, I have to say that, you know, the emails that I get, the calls that I get, the stuff that I hear when I'm in the arena and stuff like that, walking the streets, there's a lot of people who are very disappointed with the 76ers right now.
I think disappointed is a better word than disgruntled at this point. I can only talk from personal experience, having grown up as a Sixers fan, watched the teams in the 80s with Dr. J and Moses Malone and Andrew Toney, and I can go through the list. It's gotten to a point where a lot of us, and I'll include myself, don't care anymore.
He really
not,
doesn't.
Not or not Keith. Angry about it. Don't care.
Like,
and I think that part of the, hold on, Jason, sorry. The thing that is the don't care part is not just that we had to go through all this for over a decade for no championships and no championship series, but also the level of perceived deception or lack of transparency as to what's going on, to the point that you can't, as Keith, you mentioned, there was a point at which we looked forward, at least sadly, to the draft instead of the 82 games, and looked forward to what was supposed to come. Now we don't, and it's not just one administration, it's a series of administrations that have not been forthcoming or transparent, to the point that you can't even look forward because you're hesitant as to whether or not the information you're giving is going to in 7 to 10 days. Like, if I knew, not me personally, but if I as a Sixers fan knew in 7 to 10 days that Joel Embiid was going to play, I'd be excited. There's no reason to believe that in 7 to 10 days he's actually going to play, because we started this year talking to you in Iowa with, he's not going to play
for
one game in the preseason, and he didn't play in that game because he had a scheduled doctor's visit that nobody could figure out when it was scheduled.
I think I lost my mind on that call with Keith,
yeah,
too.
So what can the Sixers do beyond trying to get a player or players healthy to, in my opinion, win back, or people have faith that they have something to look forward to?
And by the way, Keith, he's serious. I text him, like, I'll get really angry. I look out for the lineup each day, and I'll get really angry, and I'll text it to him, and he's like, you just need to check out. Like, you need to stop getting so invested in this. It's going to keep happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's a serious situation. Again, I do think that if they come out and they go on a crazy run, then maybe people will come back. But, you know, right now, I think it's justified. People are justified not to be there or not to be following this team the way they used to. Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to say this. It was 8 minutes before their last game when they played the New York Knicks. And I walked out in the bowl, and it reminded me of the process. Now, granted, you said you saw empty seats in the game, but it comparable to what it was by mid first quarter, it was a packed house compared to what it was, right? But the problem was, a lot of those people were New York Knicks fans coming from Jersey and New York, and they basically seemed like, hey, I'm not missing work today. I'm going to go to this game right afterwards, and I'll probably show up a little late. But that's what it was. But You know, I do think that this is a bad look for the Sixers because, you know, when you talk about it, it's always been in the past. Don't worry about the present because the future is going to be bright. And now you look at the 76ers and you can make a strong argument that the roster that they assembled last year before they made the trades on the trade deadline before was better than this one. They had the right type of guys, and they got rid of all those guys because they felt like they were going to go all in and get these guys. And Embiid has only played 13 games. Paul George has yet to show, yet to play to the level that people felt that he would play like. You know, Maxey is forcing a lot of shots because he's trying to do so much. And in addition to that, a lot of the guys, actually all the free agents that they brought in, all of them missed the game.
Yep.
All of them because of injury. So, you know, this has been a real disappointment, but the Joel thing is mind-boggling because, you know, it goes from day to day. It was 12 days. Day to day for 12 days to now it's like, oh, well, he's going to be out a week and a half probably.
I think that's
And even with that, you can't go by that because you remember when they were in Charlotte and he missed the game, you know, it was like, whoa, he's going to be out the weekend or he's going to miss X amount of games. He only missed one. So, like, they don't even know.
I think that's why people don't believe them, though. And I think part of the problem is, where is the leadership? You run Nick Nurse out there every day to give a report that's the same thing day to day. We'll see how he feels. No Daryl Morey out here commenting on it. No Josh Harris out here commenting on it. So the fan base just assumes that they're okay with this.
I don't know if they're okay with it, but they don't want to answer questions about it.
Because that's their job.
It's their job, but people are going to be extremely critical. I mean, you look at Daryl Morey right now. Like, Daryl Morey came in here. He was supposed to be the savior, right? Like, you know, they had everyone else. He's supposed to be the savior. Well, you look at it, they have the same problems that they had when Sam Hinkie was here. And we're talking about different, you know, like different general managers, presidents, and all that. That was at least four people in between them, right? At least four. So they're the same problems. I just feel like they know that he's going to be hammered. He's going to be asked a lot of tough questions, and they don't want to answer, in my opinion.
But somebody's got to answer. If that's leading to the apathy that's now coming, is that there's nobody that can answer the questions that we all have. There's people like you that are in a room to ask questions, not to be critical, to ask questions. At some point, they just have to answer questions.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And I think in the past, you know, before, I remember I would ask these questions and there were certain people would be critical of me. Why are you doing this? Why are you being so this way? Why, you know, like you're negative, you're this and that. Let it be. I think a lot of those same people are now like, this is crazy. Like, how come we haven't heard from Daryl Morey? You know, like, it's just a lot of things, man. And you know, even Embiid it hasn't even been transparent or hasn't been visible. Let's just say that. You know, like, to me, it looks kind of bad at times when you see Paul George, when he doesn't play, he's there on the bench with the team. Kyle Lowry's there on the bench with the team, everyone else. Joel Embiid isn't always there. Now, unless there's something that he can't sit in that seat for an extended period of time because he's getting treatment or something like that. But outside of that, if I'm a fan, I'm like, whoa, we paid tickets for this, and he's not even at the game. Like, you know what I mean? So it's crazy. Like, I will say this. When we were in Orlando last week, it was on Sunday, and I remember, and now you go in the locker room, you could tell Joel's not going to play. Joel's on his phone. He has his sweatsuit on, sweat and a hoodie and all that. But then when I walked out, I saw his father who, his kid was standing, there's a rope in between, like, well, not really a rope, but it's like a divider where they have the fans on one side and the players walk out from the locker room the other side, and fans can, you know, cheer them on and whatnot. So there was a father, he had two sons that were there. He was somewhere else, but he runs over and he's like, he hurries over. He wasn't running, but he rushes over and he's like, "You mean to tell me MB's not playing? What? MB's not playing?" So I asked him a question. I was like, "What's up?" He's like, "Man, we drove up from Miami to see him. I'm a big time Sixers fan. I'm from Philly." So, you know, it's one of those things where you can see now that people are getting a little upset because these tickets cost money. They cost money. And the father was disappointed because they drove up to see the game and Embiid wasn't there.
And that's my point. You don't need defending. Nobody who's in that press room needs defending. But as a fan, forget everything else we do. As a fan, there's two reasons I want to know. One, I want to know that I can look forward since I can't look at the present. And two, if I'm going to spend several hundred dollars, I want to know that somebody's playing. Or what I don't want to know is what you said, is that there are going to be games where everybody they've signed ain't playing. And asking that those two questions, or asking that one question to get those two answers, seems to be a basic obligation that any organization in any sport or any business has to its fan base or its customer base.
I'm just saying, I think it's a bad thing that my four-year-old is trained when he puts on the game to say, "Is Embiid playing tonight?" He's four, Keith, and even he knows. And my bigger problem is, the ownership all stood up in front of a microphone a week ago when they got their new arena deal that they moved. They were willing to talk and say what they wanted then. So they won't stand up and talk about the product on the court, but they'll talk about the shiny new arena that they're building separate from how they even got to that deal. So to me, it's just a question of priorities. It's not a priority. You know, we can say it's their priority, the product on the court. Their response to what's being out there does not reflect that.
Yeah, I also think the one thing that I will say is you can't give them a pass because they get information before everyone else, right? And they know it's one of those things where it's like it could, like here are the two scenarios or whatever, right? But I do think that everyone thought this year was going to be better. The ownership,
not Jeff.
Not well, maybe not Jeff.
Jeff?
But I think Joel. A lot of people are like, "Wow, we didn't know it was just going to be this bad." And also, I do think there are certain times where they do think that Joel's going to play, and then Joel's like, "I can't go." Now, Joel won't come out and say that publicly because he doesn't want people to get upset with him. So it's kind of like, well, we decided we're not going to play.
Well,
but I do think that Joel has the final say on I'm not going to say all things, but there's been times where Joel Embiid had the final say, I believe, and he decided not to do it.
Well, if Joel's listening, Joel, realize people are blaming you anyway. So not saying anything isn't going to work at this point. Here's my concern about the rest of the team and what you're seeing around the team. How is this inhibiting the development of the younger players? How is this hurting someone in particular like Tyrese Maxey, who has this huge load on his shoulders, the inconsistency of who he's going to play with? I mean, he can't develop a pick and roll if the other part of the pick and roll ain't there. And if he doesn't know who's going to be playing inside if Embiid's not there, would it be better for the development of the rest of players? Forget record-wise. Would it be better for the development of the rest of players, including Tyrese Maxey, if Joel Embiid were to just, as we talk about every year, shut it down?
You know, I think it would be, but at the same time, I feel like, I mean, I think it would be, I do. I mean, but I feel like the team is like, well, you know what? The teams that we have below us aren't that good. They're tanking. You know, we feel like if we can get in the play-in tournament, we can win that. And then we feel like we could be a pretty good matchup against some of these upper echelon teams if we're healthy.
How far have we fallen, Keith? How far have we fallen, though? Like, the Pistons are above us, and our thing is, if we can win a couple games, we can get into the play-in now. This was supposed to be the team that they constructed to compete. It's just we've lowered the expectations. You know, it used to be a running joke that until this team gets past the second round, you can't pay attention. They ain't even going to get there this year. And by the way, they don't have their pick other than top six protected. So unless they actually tank, they're not going to get a draft pick out of this. They are literally in purgatory. And my fear is Morey pops his head up to move some of the young guys to try and save a sinking ship that already ain't floating.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the problem. I mean, and I guess that goes back to, you know, what Jeff is saying. I mean, asking a question. I mean, yeah, it would be better off to develop people to find out what they have and this and that. But I also think the reason why they don't do stuff like that, y'all, is because, like, you know, you can always use excuses as you can always use injuries as an excuse for why something didn't happen, right? But then you could come back and you hope and you pray that, okay, well, maybe we'll get them on the floor together and we can make it, make not maybe a championship run, but we can win a first round series or something like that and just have everyone happy, so to speak. But, you know, right now, when we talk about development, you know, there's a couple guys that they could, like Justin Edwards, you know, Yabusele, he's a guy that they found out that he could play and someone that you may have to make some moves to keep him, like literally, because I don't know if they can afford him with the way this roster is. But, you know, I mean, you know, other guys, bring them out there, play them. But I also think that if we're going to be honest with ourselves, it's a matter of trying to keep the fan base, because we already see that people aren't coming to the game. And then they told people over 10 years ago to trust the process, and people stayed with the process. Well, this is supposed to be the finishing product, right? And we look at the finishing product, and they're worse than what they were in some of the years they were tanking. So I don't know if they want to admit to shutting everything down, because what that is, you're basically admitting to failure. And what they did in the past was they would always, like, push the goalpost backwards, so to speak. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, it's not going to happen this year, but it's going to happen next year.
Well, now we can push the goalpost ahead 7 years. So our goal should be to have a championship team when we move into our new building.
You got 3 minutes to talk about it before we go off the air, Keith.
Yeah, I don't see them winning the championship right now. I mean, I just don't. I mean, you never know what can happen in 7 years, but I feel like they got to blow things up and just start anew, because right now this ain't happening.
While the stuff's going on the court, we know all the stuff that's now going on off the court and their new partnership with the Sixers. I mean, with the Flyers. Did they play this right? Did they play
the city?
You know what? I don't know if they played the city, but it looks like they played the city, right? It looks like, you know, it looks like one of those deals, in my opinion. And again, I don't have a lot of inside knowledge, but it looks like one of those opinions where, If I want to get a raise, or I want to get something, well, what do? You get a job offer somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, you see if the people in your job really like you. And what happens is that's what happened. Like, it seemed like they got the partnership that they wanted with the Flyers. But if they didn't get those stipulations, they would have built their own arena in Philly downtown. So that's what it seems like. And yeah, it looks like the city was played big time. It looks that way.
All right, so last 2 minutes. What do we look for the next few weeks from this team? Embiid's out 7 to 10 days. You know, Paul George has had foul trouble when he's played at times, hasn't really played to the level people think. Where are we with this team in the last minute and a half?
You know what? I think if these next, well, at least for the next three games, you're not going to learn anything about the 76ers. Nothing. Now, you may want to see how Justin Edwards looks when he's guarding Dame Lillard, you know what I mean? And like, can he box someone out? But aside from that, you're not going to get anything, because the problem is, even for moving forward, the teams below the Sixers are trying to tank. So even still, the Sixers are still going to be in contention for the play-in tournament, even without Embiid. So we're not going to learn anything. I mean, these other teams are selling left and right. So we're not going to learn anything if we're going to be real.
Jeff, am I just going to keep losing my mind over this? I can't check out like you do.
Yeah, I didn't need to answer. Keith answered for you. Yeah, you're going to keep losing
like,
your mind.
Keith, you got to know. I sent Jeff the release of the agreement between the Sixers and Flyers, and he literally got in between the court stuff he had to do in Chicago while freezing to call me because I could hear the steam coming out of his ears through the phone. Like, that was the extent to Jeff's reaction. He could care less when I send him the starting lineup, but they come to an agreement like that after everything happened, and he's got plenty of thoughts.
That's why he doesn't have season tickets anymore.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it is the reason. And by the way, I think at the end of the day, this is the right outcome, is for the two teams to play in the same arena down there and develop down there. How they did it is troubling to me, and how that... By the way, how the mayor dealt with this is true. We don't
greatest
talk politics
deal ever
on the show, but the mayor, she needs to go to some sort of school to learn how to negotiate a deal. Because if she thinks this was the greatest deal ever when they were going down to Market East, I don't know what to say.
Jeff gets the last word. Jeff gets the last word this week. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Make sure to join us next Friday night to help you start your weekend in style. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.